The Nature Stories podcast, where people and place intersect.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from BP, which believes that it's time to think outside the barrel by developing new sources of alternative energy. More information at bp.com/US.
This week on the Nature Stories podcast, the pain of loving land that gives you nothing but trouble. The Nature Stories podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. I'm Samantha Brown. This week's piece comes from Stories from the Heart of the Land, the public radio series about the connection between people and the natural world. Here's series host Jay Allison to tell you more.
Bob Dylan once said, "I am against nature. I don't dig nature at all. I think that the truly natural things are dreams, which nature can't touch with decay." In our next story, Dean Olsher tests that theory on the ground. When we subject our dreams to reality, or vice versa, what about all that decay? Dean Olsher's dream took place in western Massachusetts.
It was one of those clear autumn days when the colors are richer than usual.
The dream involved an imaginary house.
It had a front porch with pillars. The clapboard siding was stained a warm chestnut brown.
Dean had this dream enough that he decided to act on it.
"This is mine?"
A questionable choice, as he'd admit, because dreams are the province of desire, which is not always simple to satisfy. But anyway, he went house shopping. He looked at lots of them, and then the real estate agent showed him one that would be, quote, "protected forever from development."
"The house is on a wetland."
And I thought, great, no ugly condos ever. I love wetlands. That sounds so eco.
Wetlands. Raise any red flags for you? Not for Dean.
Listener, I bought it. Now, at no point did anybody say what they ought to have said, which was,
"Dean, are you nuts?
Under no circumstances are you to buy a house situated on a wetlands.
It will cause you nothing but woe for all the remaining days of your life."
They knew how much I wanted it, and so they wanted it for me. Too much.
The muskrat is the beaver of the settled states. Their number has even increased within a few years in this vicinity. The bear, wolf, deer, beaver, and marten have disappeared.
The first few years were uneventful, except for the fact that a pond appeared in the backyard, a beaver pond. A beaver pond that would have existed at the time I bought the property if it weren't for the fact that somebody had been tearing it down. And I can't know who it was because I didn't own the place yet. But the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts are rather draconian. $25,000 fine per day if you tear the dam down. So, of course, I didn't touch it. And that meant that this new pond appeared practically overnight and started creeping closer toward my house week after week, and I knew if I didn't do something, it might eventually flood my basement.
"Oh, you're the one who bought the beaver pond?"
I became the laughingstock of South Berkshire County.
"What kind of dumbass are you?"
But no matter how many times I tried to explain, no, the beaver pond didn't exist when I bought the place, they still spoke in that falsely compassionate tone. They tried to sound sorrowful, but underneath I could hear them thinking,
"Sure, there's the law, but everyone else understands that there's the law, and then there's what normal people actually do."
"What the hell is wrong with you?"
People do come by here every day and check out my wildlife. One woman came by one morning and said, "There's a bald eagle in your pond." No bald eagles here. Everybody sees what they want to see in this beaver pond. The thing about beavers is that not only are they famously industrious, they're smart, too. And what this means is that regardless of these anachronistic laws that protect what is now an abundant species, well, there's really nothing you can do about them. If you tear down their dam, even if they hear just a trickle of water, they will rebuild it the next day. And if you shoot them or trap them, more beavers will always come.
"Whoever violates any provision of the Massachusetts Wetlands Protection Act shall be punished by a fine of not more than $25,000 or by imprisonment for not more than 2 years or both such fine and imprisonment."
The only way to rid your property of beavers is to frustrate them. And to do this, you need the beaver deceiver. It's really kind of simple. A guy just comes and runs a drain pipe through the dam. And so this strains the pond downstream where the beavers can't hear it. And they go away. Problem solved, right? If only. Now, this is the part that is straight out of Kafka. You see, even though the beavers are gone, well, the dam is still there, and that dam is still protected by law. It's illegal for me to touch it. And that beaver deceiver, it caught the attention of town officials and triggered a labyrinthine legal mess. It went on literally for 5 years, and it involved a pretty colorful cast of characters, including the director of the health department, who wrote me threatening letters ordering me to replace my septic system at the cost of tens of thousands of dollars.
Failure to do so will result in a complaint being filed against you in Southern
Second,
Berkshire District.
Second, a wildlife specialist who made me no friends on the Conservation Commission when he got into a shouting match with a chairwoman.
But there are loons nesting on that pond.
Lady, the only loon around here is you!
And finally, a bevy of lawyers, including one who, when he took my $250 retainer and told me he played golf with the health department director, led me to believe the problem was going to go away, but it didn't. No, in fact, they all said the same thing.
Yes, you've been completely screwed, and there's nothing you can do about it.
In the early 1900s, forested habitats started to recover when many farmers abandoned their farms in order to take jobs in cities or start new farms in the more fertile Midwestern United States. With the forests able to retake the landscape, the beaver was able to return. Our forests continue to provide excellent beaver habitat, and by now, beaver have been fully restored to the Commonwealth. Beaver are both common and abundant throughout most of Massachusetts.
When traps were banned, the beaver population of Massachusetts increased from 18,000 to almost 55,000.
You the owner?
Yeah.
Al Curtis.
Dean Olsher.
Nice to meet you.
5 years later, I have a new septic system.
Pull 40 feet off of this high tree.
And tens of thousands of dollars of debt.
You'd be not too far from that pine tree.
And a well-established beaver pond. And it does, of course, attract a lot of frogs and bats, which is a good thing. You know, they eat mosquitoes by the thousands. And, you know, people think of wetlands areas always having more mosquitoes. The fact is, I have much less of a problem than my neighbors. And, of course, people ask me all the time.
So, Dean, how are the beavers?
Actually, the beavers are long gone. The fact is, I have great admiration for the beavers. They just want a nice home. And in that sense, they're just like me. Their tenacity, too, well, I find it awe-inspiring. So get this, I now have a new recurring dream. And in this one, I own a house that's a big headache, and it's ugly, and I don't like being there, but I just walk behind it, further into the property, through a stand of trees, and I discover that there has been another house there all along. And then I wake up and I think to myself, well, maybe if I just bought a different house, everything would be better. And then I have a cup of coffee. And when my rational mind becomes fully awake, you know, the mind that learns from experience, I remember, no, this is not the Old Testament. Dreams are symbols. We're not meant to act on them literally. If we want to think of ourselves as more intelligent than beavers, for example, that means understanding something important about the true nature of desire. When you satisfy it, it always finds another object to attach itself to.
Dean Olsher from His Wetlands in Western Massachusetts. That piece comes from Atlantic Public Media's series Stories from the Heart of the Land. The music was composed and performed by Bill Frizzell. The Nature Stories podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. To find out more about the series or the podcast, go to nature.org/stories and send us your thoughts and feedback to podcast@tnc.org. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.